Welcome to What the Fantasy. I am Brandon Hay at HeyB3.
Muted. Hello, everybody. My name is Zada Katzbedian at ZKantsFF. Merry Boba, Book of Boba Eve, everybody. If you're familiar with Star Wars, if you guys follow Star Wars, Book of Boba tonight on Disney Plus is being released. We have made it a full year since the Mandalorian show. So, yeah, for all the nerds out there. No, Brandon? Brandon, do you? Do you dabble?
Not really. Not really. I actually had to look it up ever since you've been doing your that in your name. I had to look up what you're talking about because I wasn't totally sure.
All right, it's all good. All right, we can change subjects. We can change. We don't have to talk about
it. No, that's fine. But I'm sure there's lots of people that are very excited about that. I just never really got to, Star Wars and the Mandalorian and all of that. But I know there's a lot of people that like that. So
yeah. Yeah. It's fun. So, well, how was your holidays, man? What'd you guys do?
It was good. We just went to my parents' house. We had brunch over there, opened some presents, those type of things. Nothing real crazy. Cool. Did you go over to your family's and your fiance's families or just yours?
No, my fiance's family is all in Hawaii. So we just went to my family's house. It was crazy. We did the white elephant gift exchange, and that's what gets everybody absolutely nuts. People are yelling. Everybody's calling out like, who has got number one? Who's got number two? Everybody shut up. There's kids. There's gift wrapping paper all over the place. It's a shit show. I'm just in the back with like a cocktail, like 20 feet beyond in the background, just waiting for my number to be called. And I got a $40 gift card to Trader Joe's, and I got three bars of Belgium chocolate, and they got stolen from me from my cousin. So I went and I picked out a new gift, and I got this like triple layered serving rack for desserts. I just left it there. I didn't even bring it home. What the hell am I going to do with it? Am I going to go home and put desserts on the serving tray and just serve them to myself at home as I'm watching Book of Boba? Just like eating that desserts off the serving tray?
That would have been awesome if you did that, and I would hope you would have live streamed it if you could do that.
I'll live stream it. Don't think I will. I'll live stream almost anything.
Well, that sounds like you at least got some entertainment. It seems like that's how that white elephant always goes. You get a couple presents that you think you would like, and then they get stolen, and then you probably usually end up with something that's not usable at all.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
So this is our last episode before we move into 2022. Hopefully we will get away from, the pandemic and all the positive COVIDs in football and in life. Do you have any plans for New Year's Eve?
Probably just go to my cousin's house and try to steal my $40 gift card back from Trader Joe's.
Well, that'd be nice. I do like Trader Joe's. There's tons of good stuff there.
Yeah. We could have really used it with the inflation prices and everything, but as soon as he saw that, he's like, I'm coming for that. And I literally went to get like a piece of food, and I came back. He's like, it's gone. I took it already. I was like, cool. I was gone for 5 minutes, and you already got your number called, and it's gone. Great. So, yeah.
How many people were in the gift exchange?
I think 18.
Oh, so that's a lot. That's a lot of it's changing.
Yeah. And there was nothing really I missed out on. So, whatever.
Well, that's cool. So, I don't know if I've told you, but I'm glad. Well, me and my wife will actually be down in Miami. Uh-huh. For New Year's Eve. So
cool.
Hopefully that will be fun. We're actually leaving tomorrow. So cool. Yeah, so now we'll get into I made some pretty cool graphics, so I'll bring them up now.
Yo.
That is not the graphic that I wanted to start with though. Okay. Say, there we go. Actually, hold on just a second. I had this all planned out before. There we go. That's better. Now you can see AJ Brown's beautiful face in this helmet. So yeah. AJ Brown finally came back last week against the 49ers, had a massive game, probably helped a lot of people in fantasy, and kind of reminded people how good he really is. Where would you rank him in 2022? You know, it's hard because he always has all these injuries, but you see when he's on the field, you know, and healthy, he is so dominant. So we can just have a little discussion of who should be at the top, you know, wide receiver wise. Do you think
in redraft? I have Adams, Cup, Jefferson, Hill above him, and only those guys. That's it. Not Diggs. No, nobody else. I mean, there's nobody else to put over him. It's just going to be him. They could bring in somebody again, but I mean, he still has like a good target share to him. He had a rough year. So, I mean, I'm not going to try and predict injuries. He does have like these injury concerns that come with him. It's just part of the package with AJ Brown. So for redraft, I have him, I think, 5 overall. And in dynasty, I have him like 6th overall or 7th overall or something like that. Yeah.
I'm in agreement with you. Well, I guess the Adams thing, it would all depend on what's going on in Green Bay. You know, if Roger stays, if he stays where he ends up. But Jefferson, definitely up there. I do wonder, though, if I might put him over Tyreek Hill just because of this year. We've seen that Hill doesn't have those huge games like he has. And, you know, who knows if they kind of, you know, figure that out. But it seems like Hill will have some huge games against mediocre to bad defenses. And then against the better defenses, he's going to, you know, they're kind of nickel and diamond down the field more. So he doesn't have those huge chunks. So I might put Brown ahead of Hill, but I'm kind of in agreement with you on the rest. And because I would assume Cooper Kupp is just going to continue, you know, even though they brought in Beckham and Woods comes back next year, I wouldn't imagine that connection between him and Stafford would change at all.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I think if Woods was going to do something, it would have happened already. I think Kupp and Stafford are just already established. And it also like begs the question, would you put, if Roger stays in Green Bay, is Kupp going to be over Adams, or are you keeping Adams over Kupp next year? Real quick.
I think I might put Kupp over Adams just because of the volume, and it just seems like McVay just wants to get Kupp the ball so much. And not that Rodgers doesn't get Adams the ball, but they definitely like to run the ball more in Green Bay. Yeah. So that's part of it. But yeah, and you know, other than that one year where Kupp had that long injury, I mean, he stayed pretty healthy throughout his career. So you know, and Devontae, I mean, he plays through a lot of it, but he usually misses a game or two here. I guess that's not that big of a deal, but because even in that bad game, I don't remember what exactly Kupp did last week, but I think he still had fairly good numbers in a horrible game by Stafford.
I think, yeah, he still had over 100 yards.
Yeah. So do you, in Dynasty, does that mean are you putting Ja'Marr Chase over AJ Brown, or are you still putting AJ Brown over Ja'Marr Chase?
I have Chase over AJ Brown in Dynasty. Yeah. I was going back and forth with that a lot, dude. A lot. But Ja'Marr Chase is only at year one and he's done so much damage already just in year one. A lot of that came with T. Higgins out of the lineup. But Ja'Marr Chase, just in the long run, is just going to be such a fascinating specimen to watch, I think.
Yeah, and you figure with that core in Cincinnati, I mean, they're going to keep it together. Maybe Boyd, you know, moves on in a year or two. But you got Burrow and Higgins and Chase, and then, you know, and Mixon. Whereas with the Titans, I mean, how much longer is Tannehill going to be there? Obviously they cannot seem to get that second wide receiver. They brought in Julio and it hasn't worked out. And you know, who knows with Derrick Henry. So I guess there's more flux. But I think I'd go AJ Brown over Chase, but it's very close. It's just, AJ Brown is definitely the dominant one on that offense. Whereas for the Bengals, I think kind of just alternates between Higgins and Chase game to game. And there'd be some games that they both do that. So, but it's very close, like you said. It's, you know, and we only have one year to go off on Chase. So who knows, you know, he might either develop more or take, you know, a little step back next year. Who knows? But as of right now, I think it's very close.
You can't go wrong with really either one. So it's okay.
So Nets, the Cardinals continue to struggle, but I'm a big fan of Chase Edmonds. He played very well. And, you know, he had 16 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown. He obviously should not be the main runner because he only averaged 3.5 yards a carry, but he got 9 targets, 8 catches for 71 yards. So I just wonder, what do you think about him, and do you think the Cardinals will bring him back, or where do you think would be a good spot for him in 2022?
I think the Cardinals will keep him. They will retain him because he is serviceable. It's just going to be it's going to be difficult for him to be such a producer at the position because there's already a lot going on over there. I think Rondale Moore is the ultimate killer for Chase Edmonds. They just use him a lot in the backfield. We can expect that to grow in year two with Rondale Moore. And there's always the split backfield. They don't really want to give Chase Edmonds the bulk of the carries. He's just it's still debatable if he's, you know, capable of doing that. I think personally it's still up for debate. But I saw an interesting little chart that came out this by Ben Baldwin at Computer Cowboy at Ben Baldwin on Twitter. He created a chart that's displays yards over expected per carry versus run blocking for all running backs, right? And Chase Edmonds has some of the worst run blocking going on in Arizona, and he is averaging a whole full yard more than all his cohorts that have just as bad run blocking as him. So James Robinson is barely averaging like 0.2 yards with better run blocking. Devin Singletary just as bad running back run blocking, maybe averaging 0.3 yards. AJ Dillon, 0.3 yards. Aaron Jones, you know, he's averaging 1.3 yards more than Aaron Jones. He's way better than James Conner. James Conner is actually in the negative in yards over expected per attempt. Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, you know, all these guys that, you know, even David Montgomery, he's better than David Montgomery. Far and away, like way better. So Chase Edmonds, like, he's a very efficient runner. I mean, I think his ADP will reflect what has happened to him this year as far as the backfield split and Rondale Moore being there. I'm not sure of his contract status if he'll be up, but I think if he is a free agent, I think some team will, you know, definitely sign him. And I don't think he'll be with the Arizona Cardinals next year if he is a free agent.
Yeah, I checked it. He is one place that I just really think he fits more what they kind of want to do. I think he would be a perfect, you know, I don't know what Darrell Williams' status is in Kansas City, but I think he'd be perfect player in Kansas City, you know, because right. he's more of that explosive player than CEH is, you know, and because I think what Kansas City wants to do with CEH is give him maybe like 8 to 12 carries, you know, maybe 3 to 5 targets a game, where I think CEH is more, he needs more carries because he kind of just like runs through people, whereas Edmonds can get you those quick yards and, you know, is more, you know, is kind of better out of the backfield because, yeah, I just think Edmonds doesn't need those 15 to 18 carries to be valuable, you know, coming out of the backfield. So that's one place. I'm trying to think where else would be. I mean, you talked about Buffalo. Maybe if they want to go, you know, the cheaper route, they could, you know, bring him in depending on what they want to do with running backs. But I do think he needs to stay in an offense that's more kind of runs out the spread so he can kind of pick those holes. I don't think, you know, the more traditional teams would be the best suit for Chase Edmonds.
I could see him going to maybe Tampa Bay.
Oh, what a mess their backfield is, though.
Yeah, but I don't think Ronald Jones will be there next year, and Giovanni Bernard won't be there next year. So I think it would be him and Fournette for the most part. I can't really think of anybody else, really. Maybe I don't think James White will be around in New England. I wouldn't want to see him go there, but I think you know they'd sign him if they could as a James White replacement because he could definitely fill that role. But that would just be awful. Him and Ramondre Stevenson and Damien Harris would be terrible. I think, where else could he go?
He could go to Houston. I would actually really like him there.
He can go to San Francisco. That would be
cool. I would like him in San Francisco. Just they have so many players in that backfield that but I mean, I think he would be perfect for that system.
You go to the Rams. Not the Rams. No, sorry. I don't want to say that. I take that back. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So yeah, but you know, I definitely like him, and that those numbers you gave are very interesting because, because I've watched James Conner run, and I thought he's been running pretty well, but I think I don't, and also I don't know. I think Arizona is probably going to lose that first game in the playoffs the way they're playing. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, they're not looking good. You're right. They're not looking good. The only player that has more yards over expected per carry versus run blocking than Chase Edmonds is Jonathan Taylor. That's the only person that has more. Chase Edmonds, say this is the bad side of run blocking on the chart, and this is the good side. Jonathan Taylor is over here and up here. Chase Edmonds is over here with god-awful run blocking, and he's like right here. So he's on the bad side of the chart and right here. And Jonathan Taylor's right here was like elite run blocking. So, I mean, I don't know. Sid, there's also context when you think about like what Chase Edmonds is doing. I know we got to move on, but like there's also context, right? You got to think about like what does a third down, third and long, are they draw plays? So you got to think about like also what kind of run plays are being called, you know? There's also definitely. But anyway.
That's a good point to make too, because that's the thing. If you just look at raw stats, you don't see, the different situational type things or scenarios and everything like that. So, yeah, that's something the thing is Chase was hurt. How many games was he hurt this year or out? He was out like 4 or 5, I think. So it'll be a smaller sample, but I would definitely want to look to see when they are giving him the ball. Because if I remember correctly, early in the season, I thought he was running way better than James Conner was. So we'll have to look into that. So next, obviously, Kyle Pitts, after his slow start, everyone was saying that, he wasn't as good as everyone was saying and you shouldn't have drafted him and everything. He's most likely going to hit 1,000 yards. The one touchdown is not great, but I just wonder if that's like a Matt Ryan thing. Because remember, Julio had that problem in Atlanta that just – He didn't get a lot of touchdowns. I don't know why they don't throw it to Pitts more near the goal line, because they struggle in the red zone quite a bit. It seems like Matt Ryan just looks for Cordero, the only person he really looked for. But anyway, he's having a great rookie season. Where would you rank him next year among tight ends? Kind of the same thing we're doing with A.J. Brown.
Well, okay, so if we're going into the season – it's just so many moving pieces with the Falcons because we don't know the status of Calvin Ridley. Is he okay to come back and play football? Is Matt Ryan still going to be there? I think we have to rank him. Man, 64 receptions for 949 yards. I think you can rank him. So we're going to have Kelsey Pitts. We're going to have Kelsey Kittle. I think Waller's still above him. Mark Andrews probably above him.
Andrews, but I think that's it. Before the season, I would put like Hawkinson and Fant, but until the Broncos figure out the quarterback position, I can't put Fant anywhere up there. Hawkinson, I like, but I would take Pitts over him.
What about Goddard?
That's an interesting one. That's close. For me, let's go back to the Falcons. So, and talk about Calvin Ridley. So, do you think with if or when Calvin Ridley returns, that helps Pitts, or that hurts Pitts in that he's getting less targets? But I mean, he's the only legitimate receiving option on that team right now. So, he gets a lot of passes, but I mean, he's probably playing against the best. Defenders. So you would think with Ridley there, maybe they couldn't move him around more.
Yeah. I think Ridley also definitely. Yeah. I think he ultimately helps Pitts out. I mean, I don't even think Pitts is a tight end anymore. I think he's just a wide receiver pretty much. So he's got a whole, he'll have another year to develop as a wide receiver because he plays so many snaps out wide and from the slot. He really plays in line. That's more reserved for Hayden Hurst. So I think we're gonna have to just treat Kyle Pitts more in the Darren Waller kind of mold, where, you know, Darren Waller, like, we kind of like look at him as more of like a wide receiver. And that's why I covet Darren Waller so much, is because he typically gets snaps outside where tight ends usually don't. Like, Mark Andrews really doesn't see Pitt. I'm not too sure, but I'm assuming Mark Andrews doesn't see snaps out there. But yeah, I think Kyle Pitts is, you know, I think Kyle Pitts is still a tier one guy though. Like, but back of the tier one. Like, so I think so for now, I'll just put him behind Mark Andrews, and I'm fine drafting him there. That's fine. I think he's going to come at a discount next year because of the whole touchdown thing and like the whole rocky start that the Falcons had, and the Falcons kind of pretty much had the entire year. So if anything, he's going to be of a great value at the tight end position as a tier one. I think he's still a tier one guy because he's just so damn talented.
Also, I think this year we've seen, you know, with the addition of Pitts and even Freiermuth in at Pittsburgh, and how Dawson Knox in Buffalo, I think the tight ends, it's a little deeper now than it was, because it's pretty much, if you don't get the top three guys, you know, in Kittle, Kelsey, and Waller, then, you know, there's a huge drop off. I think now, like we were talking, there's kind of that tier one. It has kind of extended a little bit to say five. And then that tier two has a couple more, you know, substantial players, with Ertz leaving Philly. You know, Goddard is doing very well. I do think, I've watched quite a few games of the Eagles. You know, and we've talked about this. This isn't something that necessarily will last, but Goddard has had the drops at times for certain games, but he still is getting a lot of looks. So that shouldn't be, you know, a big deal. And like I said, with Fant, I really like Fant's talent, you know, at that position. But until the Broncos address their quarterback position, and then with Hockenson, you know, he's dealt with some injuries, and, you know, I imagine eventually they'll upgrade that quarterback position. But you think they'll upgrade the wide receivers too, so he might not get as many targets in the future.
Yeah, the targets are definitely going to come down, but I don't think it's really anything you really have to be worried about. I think he's just going to be so good that he's going to be really efficient with his targets. And I think, you know, this is something we'll touch on later, and I'll come back to it. So I'll come back to what we're coming to, what my point is right now. Well, okay, so what my point is right now is, I don't want to draft. I don't want to have my ADP be based on expectation. And that's all I'll say for now, because we're going to touch on that later in another segment.
Okay, sounds good. So let's move on. Next is Josh Allen. It looks like, you know, he'll be the QB1, you know, two straight years. So moving forward to, say, next year, should he be the first drafted quarterback?
You know, for a guy who doesn't really value quarterback too much, this is something I don't ever think about, because I know I'm never getting these guys. But yeah, I think you could put him at number one. I think you can go number one. There's nobody really else competing for that. And if everybody's worried about what's going on with the Chiefs right now and Patrick Mahomes and how he's become more of a game manager, then yeah, Josh Allen, QB1. It's just tough with quarterbacks because they never really produce what they did the year before. I mean, what's his production this year as opposed to 2020? How close is it come to it? You know, at 17 games already.
Let me.
You know what? Yeah,
I'm gonna pull that up real quick. So if you want to continue to talk, then
I mean, there's plenty of other Josh. Yeah, fine. Josh Allen, QB1. You can do that with Patrick Mahomes. Man, I mean, not Herbert. Who knows where Deshaun Watson will be, if he'll be anywhere next year? So yeah, I mean, Josh Allen is probably the safest bet for QB1. So I just looked it up.
And so he's played 15 games so far. He played 16 last year. So he's a game. He has one less game, and he's around 36 points less than he had last year. So he probably won't match that in one game. He might. So he's pretty close to what he did last year. I do just wonder with them. I know they, you know, have him run the ball a lot, but I just imagine as a franchise, they don't want him to run the ball that much. I mean, that's part of the added bonus with him. You know, he doesn't run as much as Lamar, but he still runs the ball quite a bit and gets rushing touchdowns. But I just assume that eventually they're going to bring in a running back where they want to give more carries to. So that would kind of run that down a little bit. But they throw the ball so much, and again, that rolls into, will that change? I mean, it hasn't changed in the last couple of years. So, I mean, that'll be interesting to look for. But like you said, you know, we're mentioning Mahomes. You know, I don't know if it's just a one-year thing. I feel like Mahomes has been regressing, you know, since he had that first ridiculous year, regressing not, you know, to be a terrible quarterback, but regressing to being, you know, maybe a top five, top six quarterback, so you don't have to pick him as high. I am a guy that likes to pick quarterbacks early because I like to settle that position early for myself. This year, that did not bode well for me because, you know, Mahomes was one of the, you know, if you're going to pick quarterback first, he's probably one of those. And he just hasn't necessarily paid off. Like in the Scott Fishbowl, I picked him first, and you know it didn't work out for me this year. So, but yeah, I think it is definitely interesting how the Bills would move forward, and also interesting with Josh Allen because a lot of people didn't think he could do this. You know, his first year as a rookie, but he's continued to get better, and he just has ridiculous arm strength, and he can just throw in the run. You know, probably some of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, I think what you want to be looking for is what you mentioned earlier is, do they add another running back of note, which I'm assuming they're going to do it because this year was a nightmare for them, especially at running back. They were constantly having Zach Moss, a healthy scratch. I don't think Devin Singletary was ever healthy, so they'd probably hold on to him. Matt Breida was brought on, healthy scratch. So they're grasping at straws at the position. You know, they added Breida in the middle of the year, which confirms that the bias that confirms the notion that, yeah, they need a running back. So expect them to bring somebody in of note, maybe Chase Edmonds. So we'll see.
I would like that. So yeah. And lastly, you know, I just want to bring up first of all, I don't know what Matt Rhule is doing with the Carolina Panthers. You know, before Sam Darnold came back, he was doing this with Walker and Cam. Yeah, I just don't know. Like last week, I was watching some of that game. Don't get me wrong, Cam he can't really throw the ball anymore. I don't really know why they necessarily brought him in because, you know, Rhule was the one that like let him go the first time. So it was interesting for that. And then they bring Cam in for two plays, bring in Darnold, then, you know, kind of switch back and forth. And obviously when Darnold's in the game, they're going to pass the ball. So I just don't understand how teams manage quarterback situations, and the Panthers are one of them.
I just think that they just can't wait for the season to end. I mean, and it's not going to be done when this year ends because next year it's not going to be any better. There's nothing for them. They are a good destination for any quarterback that makes himself available of note. But yeah, I don't know what Rhule's doing over there. I think he knows how bad Darnold is, and he's just like, what have I done? What am I going to get myself into here? The Panthers are in trouble. If you don't have a quarterback this year and you can't, you know, grab one next year, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So, expect whichever running back or quarterback gets drafted early in next year's draft to start soon. that's all I got to say, because I don't know, man. It's just not looking good for these guys. They got to close the season out, and I pray for any receiver weapons that you have on your fantasy teams next year or your dynasty teams.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've always felt bad for DJ Moore at Carolina because I think if you put him with good quarterback play, he could be a top 10 receiver consistently. I was talking to someone about this because I do think Baker is better than Sam Darnold, but I mean, Baker looks bad too. I think they're both kind of in the same boat. They have teams built to win. They don't have a quarterback, but they're kind of attached to that quarterback for next year. So I would assume they're going to bring someone in for competition or bring in a rookie and kind of, you know, if Darnold or Baker don't do well early in the season, they'll start playing the rookie, and then they're kind of wasting their window because, you know, both teams have good defenses, have good offensive pieces, and, you know, it's not going to last forever. So very, very disappointing.
Jameis Winston would be fun to watch over there. I like Jameis Winston over there. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and they probably wouldn't have to pay him that much. So, because, I mean, they're still paying Teddy, I think, next year, which all their trades make no sense. So,
wow. I bet Davis Mills looks pretty good right about now, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. The Texans might actually be the team that, you know, has the last laugh, you know, if they can trade Deshaun Watson, get good value back. And even if Davis Mills is just a bridge quarterback for a couple of years, I mean, they didn't have to spend that much capital on him. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So next we're going to go in to talk a little bit about IDP. You had we had a funny exchange on Twitter last week. You brought up about, you know, what psychos play, you know, IDP. And I said, I do, but I, you know, I suck at it. And then you said, why? And then I responded, do you mean why do I play it or why do I suck at it? We got some good comments about that. So what I told you was, I kind of have trouble picking the player to start. I think I have, you know, some good players. So I pulled up I attached in here, you know, a team I have that, you know, you start 11 players. It's kind of like a real defense. And there's some good players on here. You know, good linebackers with, you know, Von Miller, Jordan Hicks, Nick Bolton, you know, Alex Singleton. So in this one, you start two defensive ends, two corners, two safeties, and then the flex is either in DTs or defensive tackles or linebackers. And usually you go, you know, with linebackers because they get the, you know, most tackles and everything. So I put a couple of examples in here. So one is Jordan Hicks. So I have, you know, his stats up here. And what I kind of said back in the tweet is before, or what I've done, you know, currently is I look at, you know, who they're about to play. And then also, you know, their production the previous week. So as you can see, you know, there's weeks. So I think, you know, Texans are probably, you know, a pretty good matchup for defense. And then, you know, he put up 28 points against the Browns. Then you see he put up 4, you know, and see other weeks, you know, he puts up 32 at the Jaguars, then 14 at the Rams, and then 10 at the Niners. So, you know, that's one thing. And I have another example. And this is, I believe, Alex Singleton that got cut off. But, you know, you think he's playing the Lions. You know, they like to run the ball. You think that would be a good matchup. He only got 2 points. But the week before against the Raiders, he got 18. So, you see, he had pretty nice games against the Panthers, Bucks, and Raiders. And then, you know, he's had nothing against the Lions. Very poor against the Chargers. I don't think he played against the Broncos. Very little against the Jets. So, that's really you know, we kind of talked about that on Twitter, about how I need to kind of change how I look at how I staff my roster and who I choose to play each week.
Have you noticed a trend in how your league mates who are winning set their lineups? Have you been looking at how they do it?
Yeah, I definitely think that in some cases, especially in the rookie draft, since it's dynasty, that they I more focused on the offensive side early and kind of backfill the defense like in later rounds where they might go for defensive players earlier. I think that's part of my problem too, is you want to – I pick players that I think are very good defensive players, but what I've also found is just because they are – good football player doesn't necessarily mean they're good at fantasy. Like, you know, a corner like Jalen Ramsey, you know, he's a great corner, you know, but a lot, they don't necessarily throw to him a lot. You want someone that they'll throw to a lot, that you can get tackles, interceptions. Same with, you know, linebackers. Actually, if there's a bad defense, you know, it might be better because they're tackling more because, you know, they allow more yards and everything. It's things that you don't necessarily think about. You think about, like, who's good. Like I mentioned, Von Miller. You know, back when he was getting all the sats, he was good. But without all the sats, you don't get, you know, the same production.
Do you ever look up stats, say, for linebackers, which linebacker is better at blocking different times of run plays, like zone versus gap versus this versus that? Like, do you ever look at stuff like that?
I do not, and that's some of the things that, you know, I was kind of alluding to, that I if I'm going to continue to play in these leagues with defensive players, I need to start looking at, you know, snap share, you know, really look into the, you know, the depth chart, the schemes of not only the defense, but, you know, the offense they're about to play. Because I might think the offense, you know, is a run-heavy team, but if it runs a specific scheme that, you know, that defense is, doesn't necessarily, you know, match up well against, then maybe you don't get the stack holes. Or, you know, some weeks they just, you know, it's kind of, it could be kind of a fluky type thing, and you just want consistent production, kind of like on the same on the offense, kind of like the Tyler Lockett effect. You know, if he can have like four or five huge games, but if he has all the other games that are very minimal, that's not going to help your fantasy team throughout the season.
What about looking at a defensive scheme coaches with the defensive schemes that favor, you know, aggressive defense, like the Texans or the Chiefs defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo, I believe, or the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins? You know, they're constantly blitzing all the time. You know, they're a heavy blitz team. What about like favoring defensive players on those squads, even though they might not have the best, you know, pass rushers or linebackers? They're constantly blitzing. You know, what about those guys?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something. I think I just need to dive in more on the defensive side. You know, once all the coaches kind of move, you know, different places. Obviously, I don't think anyone could have seen the Cowboys defense improving this much. But I mean, you know, yeah. Dan Quinn, you know, kind of changing that defense. And that, another thing is, I think most people think of, you know, the edge rushers, the defensive ends, you know, that they get sacks and everything, but sacks are great, but you need those defensive ends that still get, you know, tackles for loss and you know, regular tackles. Cause if they say they get, you know, they get 12 sacks, which I think is a good season for a defensive end. But if that's all they really do, that's not going to give you nearly, you know, enough production at that position as other players like, you know, Calais Campbell's, you know, in the past, where they are very good run defenders and different players like that.
I noticed you had Anzalone on your team. How is Alex Anzalone this year? He seems like he was productive.
He has been. There has been a couple games where I don't really know what happened. You know, he just, you know, I guess part of it might be just the game script, you know, and if they are throwing it more, you know, he's not as involved. But, you know, and that's another part too. You, like I said, you think, you know, bad defenses, you know, they get more tackles, but sometimes, you know, if they're getting beat deep every time, obviously the linebackers aren't involved in that, you know, in this play. So some of it is just, you know, chance, but it's kind of like, you know, offensive, you know, fantasy. You just want to find all the data and all the information you can to make the best educated guess. And I think sometimes I'll just look at the raw stats, you know, like, you know, what fantasy production they got week to week. And I'm making that, you know, and just seeing what team they play rather than looking, you know, deeper into the sets, like we're saying, you know, different schemes, snaps, you know, what downs they're really playing. Are they just, you know, mainly playing, you know, first and second down? Are they in on third down? I think those are all things that I kind of need to look at more. All type of things you know to, or most people look at on offense, but you just got to kind of train yourself to do that part on defense, because, you know, the research, you know, will help you in finding the right players there too.
And where can you find all that?
Well, I know I'll plug them very quickly. IDP guys, you know, get a subscription there. They do all kinds of articles, and you know, Johnny has a one where he breaks down all the cornerbacks, you know who are up for a big game, who are like, you know, medium, who are lower level, you know. And so, you know, if you're in a lot of IDP leagues, I think the subscription is very well worth it there. A lot, and people don't know this, they do you know, some college stuff too, and They do offensive articles in rankings, so they have it all there. It's not just defensive, but it is definitely harder to find the defensive analysis. But, you know, the IDP guys is one that I definitely would look into if you're in IDP leagues.
Fascinating stuff, man. I got to try it out next year. I think I'm going to dabble in one league next year at least. I remember I was listening to one podcast, and they do a show based on IDP. It's IDP focus, and it's only like 15 minutes as opposed to their other regular offensive fantasy shows, which run like an hour, right? Because they don't have a large audience, and the audience that does trickle in for that show is maybe like 10 people that comes in for that show. But you learn a lot. I mean, just by listening to that as a non-IDP player, I still learned a lot as an offensive player, like what players are good starts. You know, maybe that's reading too much into it, and it sometimes might get you into trouble, but it still is great, like especially like when looking at like learning about pass rushers or run blockers or great linebackers and strong safety play. It's still great to listen to, even though you don't play IDP. Listen to it. Listen to it as much as you can. That'll be my advice for most people that don't play IDP.
And another more advice for you, I would say, is because not all leagues, you know, you start that many defensive players. A lot of leagues, they have like maybe four or five, and you don't have to play, you know, like defensive tackles and corners. I would say maybe dabble in something like that first, you know, just a few players, because, you know, obviously you want the linebackers and safeties, and especially like defensive tackles. They are so hard to figure out because, you know, some of those defensive tackles are just trying to eat blocks and you never really know. I would definitely say kind of go more in the short type of IDP rather than the full out, you know, full you know, starting like 11 or 12 players.
Okay. I like it.
All right. So that was good. So we'll get into the fun topic. So this kind of, I guess, goes into New Year's Eve. You know, you usually listen to music, kind of want to get, you know, hyped up for the night or whatever type of night you're going to have. If you're mellow, have some mellow music. So top three songs that kind of you jam out to get ready for the night.
Yeah. So before I even start, I just want to let you know that my top three songs that I like to jam out to all have to do with me several beverages deep on a dance floor somewhere. And also they're very like, they're disco based because my mom and dad and all my aunts and uncles were very like disco heads when they were younger. And I've been influenced by that music a lot. So it's mostly disco based. It's like, it's modern music. It's totally up to date. Like it's like stuff that was made like in the past 5 years, but it's like kind of disco vibe. So my number three song is called Peanut Butter Jelly by Galantis. They're kind of like electronic dance, but it's a really fun song to like get you really like pumped up. Like it's really good for work or working out or just like just getting up in the morning and trying to get your blood going a little bit with coffee or whatever you're doing. It's good for whatever you're doing. And it always gets me in a positive mood. I was actually just listening to it on the way home tonight. So that's my number three song. You know, it could easily be number one, but yeah, number three for sure, Galantis.
All right. So just kind of mine is first. Well, my number three, actually all these songs could be interchangeable, but number three for me is Where the Party At by Jagged Edge and Nelly. That's, you know, upbeat song. Ever since it's come out, all my friends kind of make fun of me because, you know, I love to sing it and love to play it all the time on all my playlists. So that's one to kind of get me going because, you know, my songs kind of, I want them to be catchy. I want everyone to get involved and like sing. So you'll see that kind of trend as I go on. So that's my number three.
All right. My number two is by this Canadian French band. It's a trio of women called Toulouse. And the song is called It Always Happens. It's like a very like classic, slower disco song, but man, it gets me in such a good mood. I first heard it on a show called Letterkenny. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Letterkenny, but it has like the best soundtrack you've ever heard in your life. All the songs are great. Like anytime you hear a song on Letterkenny, you go look it up on YouTube and the entire comment section is like Letterkenny brought me here. Letterkenny brought me here. Letterkenny brought me here. It's such a great show. But Toulouse, It Always Happens is just such a, like a great vibe. I love that. I love that song. I never get tired of it. It gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. That's Toulouse, Toulouse. Go check it out. It always happens.
I'll have to check that out. So number two for me, really the anything in the boy band genre could go in here. But my typical favorite is Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, because everyone knows that song. You can kind of all get into it, you know, and keep drinking, do shots and everything, and sing along and dance. I think that song's been played at every single wedding of, you know, of all my friends. So that's number two for me. But like I said, a lot of different boy band songs could be substituted in there as my number two.
You're never touching my radio in my car. Ever. You don't touch the, you know, no, I'm not letting you go to the jukebox. You can't go to the jukebox ever. I'm just kidding. My number one song is by
I feel like you're not kidding. I feel like you're being very serious, and that's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to make that comment.
No, I'm not serious at all. I'm just kidding. Absolutely not serious. I love it. I love the boy band, dude. Nobody I know wants to play boy band music. It's funny. I respect it. I respect Backstreet Boys. I do. NSYNC not so much, but Backstreet Boys I respect. And You Kids on the Block. And my number one song is by one of my favorite groups called Roosevelt. The song is called Teardrops. It's really a classic and a staple with me because we had it going at a bachelor party, and it was our second night there, and the second I put it on, like, we were all, it just like brought the entire energy up at the bachelor party. It always takes me back to that moment in the bachelor party when that song came on, and I was listening to it before. But when I put it on, everybody was like, oh, this song is amazing. And everybody was like on the level. Like they were all at the same place when that song came on. It just hit at the perfect moment. So Roosevelt Teardrops for me.
Our songs are very different. You know, like I said, they're interchangeable. But another one kind of throw in the mix is I like a lot of like rap songs that where there's the remix because they have like a lot of different artists in there. So Welcome to Atlanta, the remix, just, you know, Snoop Dogg's in there and Murphy Lee and, you know, I think Puff Daddy's in there too, which he's just in there. But yeah, I like that because, you know, it's just a kind of get the party going and everything. And, you know, that's what I like for New Year's Eve.
Welcome to Atlanta. Remix?
Yes.
Is this it?
This is definitely it.
I've never heard this song.
Welcome to Atlanta, Jack, Hammers, and Bones. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Atlanta. That's 2003 or something like that, probably.
Yeah, but most of the music I like is back from, you know, pretty much when I was in high school, early college. So, you know, I listen to a lot of that.
I respect that genre of rap. That was a fun time. I was in high school during that time as well. Yeah, good stuff.
So we'll just close out briefly. You know, so things we've learned in fantasy for 2021. One quick thing I'll say is, you know, in my dynasty leagues, I think I got a little lackadaisical, I guess you could say, because the previous year in 2020, I did very well. So I kind of thought, you know, the rosters were fine. I could just kind of roll with it. And you've got to constantly be looking to improve because that really hurt me in a lot of my, you know, roster spots this year. So that's something I'm going to definitely take on, you know, moving forward. What's one thing you kind of learned this year?
It's something I mentioned before, and it's basically don't create your ADP or your ranks. Don't create your ranks based off of the assumption that a player is going to do well because the coach is going to put them in that situation. So, you're basing your rankings of a player and which round you're going to take them off of an assumption that a coach is just linear with your logic, you know, like it's not a good way of going about it. Case in point, Antonio Gibson. I've said Antonio Gibson on here numerous times. I think people have taken their shot with Joe Mixon like year in and year out so many times. And Joe Mixon has like not worked out more often than not. Like this year, he worked out finally in like year four. But I mean, most times he's gone like in the same place he's going every year, and he's failed every single time except this year. whether it is from injury or underutilization because of Giovanni Bernard. Oh, he's going to be the he's going to be the third down back. No, it's Giovanni Bernard. Sorry, buddy. So you know, it's if there that's and that has to go with a whole kind of that vague backfield, right? That kind of like don't mess with it really. If it's kind of vague and your assumptions and your aspirations for that running back are a little bit too aggressive, kind of bump it down. And if you miss, don't worry about it because you're going to be able to pick up a Leonard Fournette later on in the draft or James Conner later on in the draft.
Yeah, that's definitely another kind of thing that I've had trouble in the past. If a player kind of burns me, it just kind of gets in my head and I won't draft that player, you know, in the future. And that's just limiting yourself. You know, you're really just hurting yourself because you don't, you know, you need to approach every year as a new year. You know, things change. Another thing for me is it's going to be hard for me to do every year, but just don't get rookie crazy. I loved a lot of these rookie wide receivers. So in some leagues, I went heavy, like getting like three of them, you know, and it's fine to get one of them because we saw Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman have started to come out, you know, before Elijah Moore got hurt. But if you get all of them, you know, that means you're waiting on all of them for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks and you kind of put yourself in a hole. You can, it's fine to get, you know, one or two, but, you know, you need some of those guys that are familiar that, you know, what their production can do. But then on the other hand, we all thought that was Allen Robinson and everyone was burned on Allen Robinson this year. So I guess there's, you know, exceptions to every rule.
Yeah, more often than not, I think there's going to be the majority of the running backs in each class are going to come on later in like the final half, the second half of the year or the final stretch of the year. We're seeing that right now with Amon-Ra St. Brown. But with the upper echelon, you know, I think a lot of it actually kind of panned out this year. I think Jamar Chase panned out. Jalen Waddle panned out sooner than later. Devontae Smith was a little up and down. So there's a lot of turbulence in these guys. Yeah, I think. You know, you shouldn't like you said, don't go crazy. Like try one out, try maybe two out. Like Elijah Moore, we all know he's legit, but that team is just dysfunctional. But I mean, like he's making it happen. Like Elijah Moore is going to be an amazing value next year. Anyways, my second one is don't draft because of positions. Don't skip talent because of position scarcity. You know, like again, we come back to running back. Don't take, you know. Don't take a player at a position who's not going to get you the same fantasy points as like, so like, don't, I keep coming back to Antonio Gibson. Don't take Antonio Gibson over like Devontae Adams or something like that. Don't take the studs in the first like couple rounds that are surefire studs, first two or three rounds, and then start loading up and then start worrying about positional scarcity. It's not going to kill you. If you miss on it, like the first two or three rounds, you'll fill up somewhere else. Especially, I focus a lot about the running back position because it is the position that is in the highest demand every single year, right? The running back position this year, I learned, I mean, there are so many opportunities to catch a running back off the waiver wire. There's so many different ways you can do it, especially in PPR leagues. Don't worry about filling up at the position early unless you're getting absolute value at the position. Take the studs, take Tyreek Hill. Take AJ Brown, take Devontae Adams, Justin Jefferson, take all those guys. Take Travis Kelce. I'd even say take Darren Waller over most of those guys. I'd definitely go Darren Waller over most of those guys. But yeah, that's my second one.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice. And, you know, kind of add on to that, just because, say, you know, you're reading a lot of mock drafts, I mean, a lot of people saying, you know, don't take wide receivers in the first round or whatever. Take whatever is the best player there. You know, don't go in with a certain strategy where you're only going to pick one player. Like I've done it before where I think I'm going to wait on running backs. And then if a really good running back falls, then, you know, obviously you have to, you know, take that player and just, you have to, I think the biggest thing for me is just being more flexible in my strategy and how I kind of approach different teams. Because when you are more rigid in how you approach it, it really limits your flexibility during the season. And some of my rosters were like that, where, you know, in a semifinal matchup last week, I had to play Rashard Higgins and I had to play Antoine Wesley for the Cardinals. I mean, it worked out, you know, for 10 and 9 points, but literally I did not have any healthy wide receivers because I didn't, you know, I didn't load up like I should have, you know, distributed and everything. And, you know, you just have to construct your team where it gives you opportunities to battle through injuries, and especially with all the COVID positives.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. My number three is this is more dynasty centric. During your rookie drafts, don't think there's no value with your second or third round picks. There's players that everybody misses out on every single year in rookie drafts. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now, but it happens every year where there's like, Jesus Christ, you look back at it, you're like, that guy slipped to the third round this year. Like, what were we thinking? Like, there's always somebody that's slipping to the third, second round. So, you know, if say like this year in Dynasty, right, I have the 105 in one of my rookie drafts. I could either trade that next year for a 2023 first round pick, or I could trade it back for 2 second round picks or something like that for that first round pick. Cause I know I feel comfortable knowing that there isn't much talent in the first round picks in the first round after like the first few picks again this year, like there was last year. I think this year you can trade back and definitely get some value in the second round or third round pick as far as like running backs go, and just sitting on running backs, because sooner or later they're going to emerge, especially if they're top tier running backs that are drafted later in the actual NFL draft. You know, they're going to have value in the second or third round of your rookie drafts. This is my only go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to add on to that. I definitely agree. We could all be wrong, but I don't think the top end of the first round is nearly as high as it has been the last couple of years. So I would definitely if you can drop back to say the end of the first round and then, you know, pick up like an early second round pick or a mid second round pick, I would definitely say that, because I think the while the top end isn't as high, I think it's a pretty deep class, especially with wide receivers. I think there's a lot of very good wide receivers and some running backs you can get in the second round. So I just wanted to say I agree with what you're saying.
Thank you.
Any other things you want to bring up before we close out?
No, that's it. I'm good.
All right. So that's our show for this week. For anyone that's in a championship, good luck with all, I'm sure, more COVID tests that are coming this week. And everyone have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, happy new year, everybody. Later.